Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabekoa. Anabekoa. Gedula chemincha. Tatir. Serura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagveinu taharenu nora. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of the body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then return it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkacha tamid gamlem. Betetresh tzadi taf gimel. Hasim kadosh berov tuvcha na el adatach het kuf bet tet nunayim yachid ge'e lamcha pene zokre kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayim kuf shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu Yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yud taf. The letters of the month of Shvat, the tzadi that created the constellation Dali, the Aquarian, the water carrier, and the bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, their gematria is 92, which is 91 plus the kolel, which is amen plus the kolel, the unity of the physical and the spiritual worlds. We're going to read the four verses that we read from the Tanakh, one from last year that allows us to avoid falling back and losing the gains that we made last year, and also continue forward so that we can complete the promise of this verse from Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachtal v'lo yirgaz Od v'lo yosifu, b'nei avla l'anoto, kasher barishona. That verse that we just said, eventually, will allow peace to come to the northern border, as well as the eastern and the southern borders. Partially that has happened, and we will push forward and do the completion. Now we're reading three verses from the energy that connect to the energy of this year, starting with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavoyam. Asher yitkabei sham ushavtem elai el nachon. Vehalachti itchem. V'haya im yeshno varetz, v'chipasti oto, v'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetzach, yovedo roav yom ruayo. These three verses allow us to peer through the illusion and see that the angel of death is an illusion, that there really is no such thing as death in this world, and recognize what its purpose is and how to utilize this energy in its appropriate way, in its limited way, to assist us, not to harm us. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. We're reading from verse from the Zohar, from the Parsha Teruma. From section 1, verse 3. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu shkente b'tchilu r'chimu u'tchilu li'akta Hashem yudke b'vavke b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. This verse, Pasuk, allows us to put our minds in sync with the unity of male and female, the unity of the spiritual with the physical, the unification of the four letters of the Tetragrammaton. Hani ishkafa kad mitcha biran tarvayhu kachada. Kimo shachar kad bayayo shacharuta liandhara uvatar itnagir kesichara kad batash banachiru deshimsha uvatar kishimsha. Kad kaima suchara bishlimu ayuma takifa leagana al kola dechakadin idla shalimu utkifu lemevad chela. That looks out. That is, when both of them are attached as one, Malchut looks out like the dawn. When the dawn wants to illuminate, and she is fair as the moon, in which she's the sun's light, which is Zeranpin, illuminates, then she is clear as the sun, as clear as the sun's light, when the moon is full. That is, when Malchut is face to face with Zeranpin, which is called sun. Terrible as an army with banners, this is when she is strong to protect all, being at that point furnished with perfection and power to perform great feats. This verse is describing what the energy of Malchut becomes when she is unified with Zeranpin. How the female, being the vessel for the energy of the male, looks out like the sun looks out at the dawn, that opening instant when the sun comes over the horizon. There's been a few minutes, sometimes as much as a half hour, of brightening skies. But at that one instant, the bursting forth of the light of the male that strengthens the female. Not strengthening it in the ways of a man or the ways of the male, but strengthening it in the ways of the unity of male and female being one soul. This is what is being described by this Zohar in such beautiful poetic language. This is the kind of verse that one needs to just use the repetitive sound tool, say it over and over again, until it becomes you. Not something that rests on the surface of you, but something that you feel so deep within you that it is you. Does anyone have any questions? Today's class, there are two handouts. We'll complete handout number 35, I believe it is. Actually, we're completing handout 34. And you'll find both of them under the link called class number 70 in the Advanced Reincarnation series of classes that you'll find in the Revealed Wisdom link. And we're starting out with chapter 29, section 3. Titled Other Matters. And the first word in that section is the name Shmuel, which is the son of Rabbi Chaim Vital, who was his teacher's, his father and his teacher's only student per se, who helped him write the teachings of the Ari in written form. And then they buried those writings because the world was not yet ready for them. And then Rabbi Shmuel, later in his life, received permission to dig those writings up and reveal them to the world. And that's what we're studying, one part of those writings, the part that deals with the teachings regarding reincarnation. Shmuel said, I found other scattered but congruent writings from discussions regarding Adam. I decided to include them here, even though they lack relevance to this particular discussion. The discussion that we finished last week completed, but obviously not, because Shmuel felt it was appropriate that this section be here. We were discussing what was the source of the soul of Abel. It is said that before the sin of Adam, he incorporated the four worlds of Atziah, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and all five levels of each world, Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. And when he sinned, some of them were removed and returned to their holy places. They are level one. Now here is a hint that most people, when you learn Kabbalah from an academic standpoint, you overlook this amazing teaching. We imagine the view, the look of the tree of life, of those 10 circles and the 22 lines that connect the 10 circles. And then Rabbi Ashlag comes along in the 20th century and relates the concept of the language of branches to us. And he explains that there are 5 levels, but 4 worlds. He explains there's a process consisting of 4 phases. But even within the 4 phases, or as an aspect of the 4 phases, there is a deeper process that takes 5 levels. And the 4 phases, which are really 5, and the 5 levels within each phase, gives us 25 levels. And then there's one more level within each of those. So that completion, after the sin of Adam, he fell 125 levels. And we have been moving upward, generation after generation, to return to the level of Adam before the sin. But that's not the goal. Most people concentrate on that as the goal, and it's not. The goal is to complete the correction of mankind. We first need to get to Adam before the sin, but then we have to elevate from that level another 125 levels to complete the correction of Adam HaRishon, to complete our own tikkun. Most of us are just struggling to get to Adam before the sin. But don't lose sight of the ultimate goal, and don't feel that you can't do it, because each and every one of us will achieve that level. Some remained with Adam. Now, what this is describing is the fall. But some stayed in the body of Adam. But the klipot have no effect over them. And these are referred to as level 2 souls. Some remained and fell within the klipot, male souls into male klipot, and female souls into female klipot. And this is referred to as level 3. Level 2 divides into 2 parts. The first part being the souls that remained within Adam for the sake of his own body, and the second part being those that remained with him, but which were inherited by his sons, Cain and Abel, when they were born. Here is a hint for the realization that every soul is capable of being in two places at the same moment, same instant. Stop limiting yourself. Where are you? In many places at once. Some you're conscious of, some you're unconscious of, and some are so deep that all you can do is visit them in a dream. And yet, they're all you. And the goal, the correction of a human being, is to be able to be aware of all of those 250 levels at once. And that, in my opinion, is what the scientists talk about in terms of using 5% of your brain and learning to use the other 95%. We will now briefly explain the three levels after a short introduction. The four worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah are alternatively called Abba, Ima, Zeranpin, and Nukva. There are no klipot on the level of Abba, which is Chachma. The first three sefirot of Ima and the levels of Keter within Zeranpin and Nukva. With respect to the rest of the levels, the klipot do latch on when people sin. The underlying point here is that klipot are as if the antithesis of divinity. God gives good life, light. Klipot take and or hide them. In a realm of complete godliness, klipot automatically have no place. This explains why they cannot exist in Abba, Chachma, Atzilut. The upper triad of Ima and the Keters of Zeranpin and Nukva, although much lower than Abba, do manifest enough divinity to nix the klipot from breeding. They die, but not in Chachma. In order to nix the hold of klipot from the self, one must draw Chachma force. It is the power of nullification, of self-sacrifice. The more Chachma that is drawn, the more klipot and ego, it becomes eradicated from the self. A note about Atzilut and klipot. Even though there is some concept of klipot relative to Atzilut, it means that they stand opposite Atzilut and manifest a relative degree of intensity in the sephirotic array of the Sitra Achra. To fulfill the verse, God made this, the Sitra Achra, opposite the other, holiness. My commentary, which I will expand upon. This is explaining a purpose to Torah study, as it relates to correcting the worlds by drawing Chachma down to its appropriate level, where it releases the sparks that have been captured by klipot. But let's understand something. This discussion is talking about the world after the sin of Adam, how souls relate to other souls. We speak of, the Ari speaks of it, the Kabbalists speak of the klipot as something that is not necessary, that something that we need to remove. And they say the way to remove it is to draw the wisdom, the Chachma, down to the lower levels, all the way down to Malchut, where that brightness, that light, is too strong for the klipa to handle. And it runs away to get away from the pain of too much brightness. And as it runs away, it releases the sparks. And we perceive the klipa as this shell that surrounds the light. Whereas you and I want the light to come within us, to be ingested into us. What is the difference between this klipa that cannot handle the light and the soul that can handle the light? The difference is its level of purity. How much uncleanness has it picked up? How much physicality has it picked up? The more physical, the less the ability to ingest, to bring light into itself. but it still absorbs the light through its surface levels. There are potentially 7 different periods of 7,000 years each. Some say we're in the 4th level, some say we're in the 2nd. I'm not going to go into it. Some use a 3rd metaphor, which talks in terms of the 1,000 years of the 8,000s, followed by 1,000 years of the 9,000s, followed by 1,000 years of the 10,000s. But all of this discussion is metaphor to understand that even a klipa is a soul that will eventually be cleansed and return to the endless world. God created this opposite that is a well-known spiritual principle. This is the negativity to be a motivational goad to rise higher, to grow more. It's easy to understand. It's easy. It fits things very well to the human physical mind. But in truth, God created this and that as part of an illusionary process. Even the klipa is a soul that will become cleansed and will return to the endless world. Is there waste that will not go back to the endless? That's something I contemplate, but I don't think it really matters, because our job is to grow as best we can. That is what we are doing through Torah study, through the study of the Kabbalah, which we need to do in our generation. Prior to our generation, 500 years ago, we didn't need Kabbalah to achieve the tikkun. But the only way to break the klipa from our souls today is through the light of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions? Section 29, chapter 29, section 4, Man's Supernal Glow. All levels to which the klipot do not latch onto are called Zihara Liah, the Adam HaRishon, the supernal glow of Adam, the first man. Except for the nefesh part of each level. This includes the levels of Yechidah, of Chaya, of Neshama, and Ruach, of the world of Atzilut, of Abba. The Abba and Ima of Briah, Ima, the 20 Ketarim in the Zeron Pin and Nukva of Briah, the 8 Ketarim in Abba, Ima, and Zeron Pin and Nukva of Yetzirah, and the Abba, Ima, and Zeron Pin and Nukva of Asiya, together are 10 Partsufim. Rabbi Auerbach comments, there is an aspect of Abba unto itself that shines to Atzilut, and there is an aspect of Abba as coupled with Ima that shines to Briah. This is one of the teachings in the book Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life. This is 10 Ketarim of Zeranpin and 10 of Nukva. The 20 Geraim, the 20 Gerot of the Shekel. The 10 of returning light and the 10 of direct light. All different metaphors. Which metaphor will confuse you? Which metaphor will make life and this teaching clear to you? Everyone is different. Contemplate these terms, these concepts. Two Keter aspects for each of these four parts of theme. Keter as well as Chachma, which is sometimes included in the Keter aspect. A little commemoration of the perfect state is left in each world. I'm not really explaining it. Rabbi Auerbach is not really explaining it in this translation. But the metaphor that may help you understand this, Keter has two levels. Keter is unified. There should be no levels in Keter. And yet we perceive by looking up not one thing but two. This perception can be utilized or can be perceived from the seed within a fruit which is hanging on a tree. If we want to plant a new tree, we pick the fruit, we eat it, and we take the seed out of that fruit, make a hole in the ground, and plant the seed. And lo and behold, after a period of process called time, it grows into a new tree. But if we let it fall naturally to the ground, that fruit, and it decays around the seed, and it never gets planted in the ground, or even if we planted it with the fruit around the seed in the ground, we could wait forever, and there will be no new tree. What is the difference between these two states? They're both Keter. The fruit, once it leaves the tree, is the Keter of the next generation. But there's two levels. One is productive, and one is incomplete. We see that the concept of the Zihara Ila'a relates to the utopian state that was predominant before the original sin. It was negated by the sin, so those special precious lights flew away. The rectification process prepares the world to receive them again. A little commemoration of the perfect state is left in each world, to enthuse and give something to aspire to. If you don't have the consciousness that you can achieve greatness, you never achieve greatness. This is what is being referred to here. Deep inside, everyone has some hidden point of utopian Zihara Ila'a. It is accessed through meditation. Understanding where it exists in the world helps activate it in the corresponding aspects of the self. For each person contains all of the worlds in microcosm. And I would add, each person contains all of the worlds in macrocosm. It's contained within us, and it is the path to reach the macrocosm level for that same level that we discover through meditation within us. Let us, all of creation, make man, a verse from Genesis chapter 1. Each part of existence made a donation, the Zohar tells us. Man, Adam HaRishon, is inclusive of every world and every level of every world. This is one explanation and one understanding of the meaning of the above paragraph. Of each person containing all of the worlds in microcosm, and that these levels of microcosm is how we reach the macrocosm. Now, each partsuf contains 10 sephirot, and each sephirah itself has 10, making 100 ketarim of 10 partsufim. In turn, each keter has 10 sephirot and 4 upper levels of yechida, chaya, neshama, and ruach. All of this is called zihara ila'a, and it is part of that which was completely removed from Adam and ascended to its holy place. And it is your sins that separate between you and your Lord. A prophecy, a statement of Hagigah. Going against the divine will prevents the soul from connecting to God and his light, his effulgence. The mitzvot of God are upright, rejoicing the heart. They restore the soul to the perfect state of being. This is why some minute expression of the dazzling light of the Zihara Ila'a was visible on certain tzaddikim, whose countenance light up a dark room. This does not necessarily mean that they are greater than other tzaddikim who do not manifest this. Rather, based on the soul root and the tikkun of each tzaddik, certain things are given to expression and certainty. There are 2 levels of zihara. The first is Zihara Ila'a of Atzilut, composed of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of the world of Atzilut. The second level is Zihara Ila'a of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, which incorporates the entire 2 part Sufim of Abba and Ima. That is the Chaya and the Neshama of the world of Briah, and Arich Anpin, or the Yechida Beria, the 4 levels of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach, of each Keter from the 100 Ketarim of the 10 Partsufim, from Zer Anpin and Nukva of Bria, through the Nukva of Asiya. All of these are called Zihara Ila'a, of the 3 worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, as mentioned. These 2 types of Zihara Ila'a were completely removed from Adam when he sinned and are called level 1. Level 2 is also considered to be Zihara Ila'a, to which the Klipot do not latch on. But since it is a lesser level, it was not removed from its place completely and remained with Adam, and is the nefesh of the world of Atzilut. This is one level of Atzilut. The second level is the nefesh of the 100 Ketarim in the 3 worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Both stayed with Adam, and both are called level 2. Level 3 is the rest of the Sephirot of the 10 Partsufim. Other than the 100 Ketarim, they all fell off him and down to the place of the Klipot. I heard from my teacher that level 2 is divided into two sections, and that the upper section is those souls that stayed with Adam in his body, and that the second lesser section is the souls that Cain and Abel inherited upon birth. But I'm not sure if this only applies to this level, and so on other levels, the second section is higher than the first. I am also in doubt as to which souls remained with Adam and which were given to Cain and Abel, and the order of how the second level was divided. Cain and Abel contain two levels, one being their actual souls themselves from the three worlds, of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, only, like the rest of people who are not from level 2. The other is the second section of level 2, which Adam, their father, bestowed upon them. It includes parts from all four worlds, from the bottom of Asiya until the beginning of the Nefesh of Atzilut. It is a very elevated soul. Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut. We also wrote that the two sections of level 2 are equal, with the exception of the first level only, which we mentioned here. We also wrote that Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut, and it seems that the second section of level 2 in Cain and Abel is higher than the rest of the souls that remained in Adam for his own sake. We also wrote that the Nefesh of Atzilut did not actually remain in Adam, and that it was not completely removed either. Rather, it hovered above the head of Adam until Cain and Abel were born, at which time they took it, as well as the other sections of the three worlds, of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. We also wrote that after Adam sinned, Hanoch took the Zihara of Arich, Adam the Zihara of Abba, Chava of Ima, Abel of Zeranpin, and Cain of Nukva. I do not know if all of these are considered to be sections of Atzilut or of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Further investigation is required. I also did not hear from my teacher who took the first three, Arich, Anpin, Abba, and Ima of Bria, whether it was Adam or Cain or Abel or their sons. This too needs further investigation. And in another place I wrote that Moses, who was the reincarnation of Abel, took them. I also wrote that the dot of Zeranpin is made up of the two joints of the two arms of Arich Anpin, which are joined at the two shoulders of Arich Anpin, which are called inheritance. Since Abba and Ima bestowed them to their children, Zeranpin and Nukva, the rest of the four joints of the two arms remained for them, and they are called Akstanta de Abba de Ima, the inheritance of Abba and Ima. The four joints are your elbow and your wrist on both arms. Kabbalah uses the main body as being the torso. The arms implement the thoughts in the brain and allow the torso to be expressed. They are so as an inheritance which children use to implement the will and aspirations of their parents. Cain and Abel came out of this dot of Zeranpin, for since Adam and Eve, who were called Abba and Ima, took the level of four joints for themselves, from which Chachma and Bina were made twice for the two of them, and the two joints that they bestowed to their children are called the dot of Zeranpin. The rest of the Mochin of Adam left for himself. It seems this way from another explanation. The rest of the Mochin Adam left for himself. He only bestowed the dot to his sons Cain and Abel. Thus we can say that he gave every portion of the dot to Cain and Abel, from the dot of the Nefesh of Atzilut until the dot of the Nukva of Asiyah, leaving for himself the rest of the sections of the Mochin of Chachma and Bina within him, which extend through all 10 Sephirot of his body. Even Chesed and Givurah of Dot that he bestowed to Cain and Abel also spread out through the entire body of Zeranpin to the 10 Sephirot within him. This is clear. From this you can understand what was lacking from the souls of Cain and Abel compared to those souls that remained in Adam for himself. For the main impact of the Klipot is to the dot in the secret of the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. Dot is a fusion of Chasadim and Givurot. They each draw to a different side, creating the decision dilemma. Choice happens in and comes from Dot. It so is the pressure place that needs fixing from the original sin, which accordingly happened from the tree of Dot. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. They so had to come from Dot. Therefore it said, and Cain yada, Cain knew his wife. Rabbi Auerbach's commentary is describing all of the above as a construct of Dot, a body for the energy of Dot. Before he stated that Cain and his wife embody Abba and Ima, Abel and his wife embody Zeranpin and Nukva, as above. This is not a contradiction to here, where Abel is reported as having the higher level of Zichara Ila'a. Cain has higher potential, but Abel starts with higher manifestation. However, on their levels themselves, the souls that come from Dot would give off more light than the souls that come from the Tum Lochin of Chachma and Bina, which have many layers of clothing and veils. This is known from the levels of Nadav and Avihu, which were above Eleazar and Itamar, as it is written elsewhere. There we explained well all the doubts regarding Cain and Abel, and how Cain and all his male sparks came out from the Givurot of the crown of Nukva. Look well over there. A small introduction regarding the secret of Yibum, the Levirate marriage. This is what he said. Rabbi Auerbach's commentary, if a man dies without having had children, his brother must marry his wife in order that she bear children on his behalf. When a man must reincarnate and dies, and after that a son is born to him, since his wife was expecting when he died, the man himself reincarnates into the body of the son. This is the secret of Yibum. This is the secret of Abaye, the Amara who was born after his father died. His father reincarnated into his son's body, which is why he is called Abaye, meaning his father. Since his father reincarnated into him, I don't think this came from my teacher, rather from Rav Eleazar Halevi. This is the secret of why Rav Yabba Saba, the precious Gilgul of Abaya, revealed the mysteries of Yibum in the Zohar, in the portion of Mishpatim. And so Abia expressed joy over not having seen his father, being so exempt from the stringencies of honoring him. This would seem strange, for someone of his stature would seem to want to be able to do the mitzvah. Rather, he was saying that the mitzvah had no place by him, since he was his father himself. The simple explanation remains, teaching how careful one has to be in honoring parents. A small introduction. There are souls that are not from the root of the holiness of Shabbat itself, but are included in Tosafet HaShabbat, an addition to Shabbat. They only contain that level and are not able to ascend higher than it, since it is the source of their root. Rabbi Auerbach comments, one can add to the strict time of Shabbat by receiving it early and keeping it late, the halakha according to Orach Chaim. The rabbis learn that it is possible to receive the sanctity of the Shabbat before sundown, when it officially comes to all, and to keep it after nightfall the next day when it officially leaves. There is a special root of Shabbat holiness. Additional Shabbat is drawn from a lesser place. Rabbi Auerbach comments, nonetheless, there is a special kind of revelation that happens specifically during Tosafet Shabbat. The upper third of Tiferet of Zeranpin peaks out in Revelation. My commentary. I did not add a commentary to this section since it takes a good working vocabulary of the language of Kabbalah and the language of branches. It is time that this starts to become part of your spiritual growth. If you have questions, please feel free to ask them. Does anyone have any questions? We only have 5 minutes left in the hour, so we will not be doing the second handout tonight. We will pick that up next week. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow evening starts Rosh Chodesh Adar. When Adar comes in, joy increases. There's a tremendous lesson in that statement. It's up to you to be happy. Just decide to be happy, and you will be happy. When you are hit in the face with those aspects of life that are difficult, you do not have to accept them as difficult. You can just grow past them, through them, and above them. Our Rosh Chodesh connection will take place 7 o'clock Thursday night. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we will have a question and answer period. I hope you'll join us for that as well. Saturday night will be a Zohar class at 7 p.m. Sunday morning at 10:30 we will continue our preparation for the spring and summer holidays. I hope you will join us. I remind you of the potential for the donation of the half a shekel as an atonement for your soul, for your nefesh. Your choice. You need to reconnect yourself prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You need to reconnect yourself to the people of the children of Israel, to the body of the children of Israel, to the mass of the children of Israel. And that is done through the elevation of the donation of the chatzi shekel, half a shekel, which consists of 10 gerah, 10 sephirot. Shalom to all.